represented here and different churches are represented here. And we're thankful that you come tonight. And once again, I'm sure it is a blessing to them. We're going to get on with it because everybody wants to get out early because I'm hungry. Amen. Is everybody all right? And I hadn't ate. I've had a hot dog today and that's about it. And anyhow, so I am ready to go find something to eat. And anyhow, we're going to be in 2 Timothy. And last night for our alumni banquet, I was in 1 Timothy, and we talked about the war that we faced. We talked about the weapons that we had, and I don't remember. Does anybody remember the last one, the warning that was extended? But we'll stay in the book of Timothy. I do like this book because Paul was writing to somebody that he had poured into. Many people don't understand this, and many people, you may be in here and you think, oh, this little old college. I remember one night I had somebody, they wanted me to come do something for them on a Tuesday night, and I told them, I said, I can't. I teach college on a Tuesday night, and this is what the woman said to me, well, you go take care of your little college. Is everybody all right? And see, y'all think that us preachers are all good. I want to come through that phone and slap her upside the head. Is that okay? Can I say that and I'll get away with it, all right? No, I wouldn't do that. Don't worry about anybody, all right? On purpose, anything like that. But sometimes we take the mindset that if it ain't important to us and if it ain't our little baby, then it's just a little old thing. But it's not a little old thing to me. I started this back in 2012, and while you've been faithful to it for 3 years, I've been faithful to it to 10, all right? And so anyhow, we have worked, and we have done. I appreciate that, but I promise you I wasn't getting a hand clap. I didn't want a hand clap on it. I just want to know that we do put an effort into it. And I put an effort into it. I study so that I can bring stuff to you and so that I can be a blessing to you and teach you. That don't just happen because I show up on Tuesday night. It takes effort just as it took effort for each one of them to come for 3 years and spend 2 hours each week sitting in a class and there with a bunch of folks, some people that ask dumb questions, can I get a witness about that? And then, and not all, but anyhow, we have a good time in there, a good time of fellowship, but I feel that I have invested in these folks, in these class. Tonight, I didn't realize this, which I did. I knew we were getting close. But tonight with this class, we will have exceeded 100 graduates. We will be up to 102 graduates as of this graduating class, which is our 8th graduating class. Our Bible college has been in existence, Bible Institute has been in existence for 10 years. It started when I first got here. I started it in September of the first year that I was here, and we have carried it on. And so, as Paul wrote to Timothy as one that he had invested in and one that he had taken time and he had discipled, I feel like I am in the same place with these graduates. And so I want to take just a few moments, and from the writings of Paul in and in chapter number 2, I want to look at how Paul challenges Timothy. And I want to challenge our graduates tonight. I also want to challenge those that may have graduated before them that are sitting here tonight, because the work is not done. One of the things that you have to understand when it comes to being a student of the Bible is that we never reach a point or a pinnacle where we know it all. Can I get a witness? Now, some people know it all. At least you do, all right? Never reach that point of knowing all that we can know from Scripture. How many of you know this? You can take one verse, and the Bible says it is a living word, which means that we could preach that one verse over and over again and preach different messages out of that one verse. Now, what do we learn in Bible college? We did learn in Bible college that there's only one what? Interpretation to the Scripture, but there are many applications. And so we can take one verse of Scripture like John 3:16, and you cannot exhaust the truth out of John 3:16, a verse that you and I all know, but we can't even exhaust all the truth out of it. Why? Because we have a living word. Amen. So in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, as Paul writes to Timothy here, he says this, thou therefore, my son, I'm in verse number one. We'll dissect the entire chapter, all right? But it won't take long, I promise, a couple of hours and we'll be done. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I need somebody to help me right here. Hey, if there was ever somebody that needed grace, I'm going to throw my hand up and say it's me, all right? But I've been around these folks for 3 years and I know they need grace too. Amen. And so Paul writes to Timothy and he calls him his son because he had nurtured him. He had apparently by, at least by the ministry of Paul, Timothy had come to the knowledge of Christ and had gotten saved. And so Paul refers to him as his son, but he told him, he has to tell him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, it ain't about your ability. Can I get a witness right there? There's a lot of us that we get a little degree under us, or we get a little diploma, or somebody pats us on the back, and then all of a sudden we get the big head. I need somebody to help me. We have all got that family member that you do not tell them that they did a good job because they can't get out the door. Can I get a witness? Right? And so Paul said, hey, listen here, it's not about what you're able to do, but you be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe Timothy was a lot like most of us, because in the very first chapter of the second book that Paul wrote to Timothy, we read that, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Apparently, Timothy was a little timid, and so Paul had to assure him over and over again that God didn't give him the spirit of fear, and he had to tell him over and over again to be strong and to be courageous, just as he had to do with Joshua all the way back, or the God had to do with Joshua all the way back in the Old Testament. So we see there that, or thou therefore my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me, verse number two, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know why we do this? You know why the Bible Institute is here? You know why we teach you how to rightly divide, how to learn your Bible, how to pass it on. Y'all, we are living in a society where we just let people go. We send our kids to school and expect them to come back and be just like we want them to be. I need somebody to help me. We send them to school, and I'll never forget, we were talking, me and my son talk, because he works with the youth here. But man, we bring our kids to church and we throw them into the youth group for 30 minutes to an hour a week, and we expect them to come out as little angels. Y'all help me. We spend, how much time do they spend at school being taught how to be little devils? And then you look at the church and say, you failed us because our kids didn't come back with all this knowledge of Scripture and as little, acting like little angels. Can I get a witness right here? Hey, listen here. If you're not teaching them at school, parents, we got to, or if they're not being taught at school, parents, you have a responsibility to teach them at the house. Paul, so don't take this as Paul telling one scholar or another. This is for all of us. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the things that you have learned over the last 3 years, the same commit thou to faithful men and women, which we have done, who shall be able to teach others. You know, you have a responsibility. I say this every year, and yet every year people walk out with their little diploma and they never do anything in the church. You have a responsibility. Whatever church you go to, you have a responsibility. Why? Because you have gained knowledge. And because of the knowledge that you have gained, God expects some things out of you. He expects you to teach others. We're living in a society where most people go to church, sit on a pew, criticize the preacher. If it ain't like we want it, if it didn't go how we want it, if they didn't sing the song, we get all mad and everything else. And most people that walk into a church couldn't quote three verses of their Bible. I need somebody to help me. But they know how to tell everybody else how bad they're doing at it. You have a responsibility. You now have something in your possession that God expects you to do something with. God expects you
to teach others. But Paul writes to Timothy in chapter number 2, and he gives him some figures of speech. We're going to look at those, just a few of them, and we're going to go through your life. Say, preacher, don't be bringing up nothing. I'm not going to bring up anything. I'm just telling you, Paul tells Timothy that you're going to face some things, and this is how you're going to have to respond to them. And so I want to do the same with you as we walk through this chapter, if we can. We realize that first off, Paul addresses him as a son, and he tells him to be strong in the grace. But next, I notice this. Paul addresses him and tells him he's going to have to be a soldier. Not only is he to be a son strong in grace, but he is to be a soldier. In verse number 3, it says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 4, listen to this one. "No man that warreth," we're talking about a soldier, "no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Do you know why most people don't teach others? Because they get entangled with everything else in the world. They get entangled with the temporary things of this world. Most people ain't got time to sit down with somebody and share the gospel with them because they're too busy worrying about their own lives. Is everybody all right? They get entangled. I need somebody to help me tonight, all right? We've all been there. We've all allowed things of this world to entangle us, whether it be a job, whether it be problems in the family, whatever it is, we have all at times allowed the affairs of this world to entangle us. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, listen, you got to teach others. There's been a grace that's been given to you. There's been a responsibility that's placed on you. And you're going to have to not only act as a son in the grace of God, but you are going to have to act as a soldier. You're going to have to endure hardness. I need somebody. You're going to have to endure hardness. It ain't going to be easy. It ain't going to be easy. Just because now that you are a graduate, now you got you a diploma that you can put on the wall, it is not going to be easy. In fact, I say it like this. It's not going to get harder. That greater knowledge comes a greater responsibility. And so don't be surprised when things get a little tougher. Paul told Timothy, he said, things are going to get a little tough on you. I need somebody to help me right here. We live in a day and time where everybody wants to listen to the preacher on TV telling them about how they're going to have a jet and a Corvette and all that other stuff. I need somebody to help me. But we're living in a world where I need somebody, y'all help me right here. We'd do good with a bicycle. Gas prices keep going up. Them jets ain't going to be worth nothing. I need somebody. He said, we're going to have to endure hardness. I want to prepare you. I love you and I'm proud of you. But you're going to have to endure hardness as a soldier. And be careful not to entangle yourself in the war. Yeah, and the affairs of this life. This is temporal. You have a knowledge. You know the eternal things now. And you're going to have to walk that way. You're going to have to realize that there are some hard times that are going to come about you, but a soldier don't give up. A soldier doesn't quit. A soldier doesn't throw in the towel. A soldier doesn't say, I'm done. He keeps going on. He keeps moving towards the standard. Boy, I wish I had time to preach on that, but our standard is Jesus Christ. Not only do we see Paul in a figure of speech call Timothy a son, And challenge him as a son. He challenges him as a soldier, but he challenges him also as an athlete or a star. An athlete. He says this in verse number 5. He says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband, or we'll stop right there, verse number 5. This athlete here, Paul takes a figure of speech and he tells us that you and I have to prepare ourselves as an athlete. And we have to run this race within the boundaries. Matter of fact, if you was to go and you was to dissect this verse, Paul was talking about the games and he was talking about them running a race and staying in their lane. I wish I had enough time to preach on this one, but some of y'all need to stay in your own lane. Stop trying to make shortcuts. This is what Paul's saying. He says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. There'll be many opportunities for you to take shortcuts. For those that are crowned, they strive lawfully. They stay in their lane and they do as God. Listen to me, y'all. I need you to hear me right here. It's going to be opportunities. I've seen it. I've seen it with our graduates and our preachers. Take opportunities to go out there and jump out there into something. Take a shortcut before God's ready for them to be out there. Only to find themselves back around here. There's going to be opportunities out there. And you're going to have to stay in your lane. You're going to have to wait on God. You're going to have to allow God to give you that victory. Not only he talked to him as a son and a soldier and as an athlete, but he talked to him as a sower or a farmer. Bible says in verse number 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Boy, I like this one. You got to teach. You have a knowledge and you have a responsibility to teach. But before you can be an effective teacher, you have to partake of the fruit yourself. I need somebody. Y'all got to help me. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Before you can teach others, this has to change you. We got a lot of folks that like to talk about things they don't know nothing about. We got a lot of preachers that are standing in pulpits talking about things they don't know nothing about. But Paul said, hey, listen, Timothy, before you get out there and go to teaching others, this better affect you. This better, the husband, he that soweth, he that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. Boy, this thing, man, when I was studying this thing out, it got all up in my biscuits. All of a sudden, I was saying, you know what? If that doesn't change me, then I have no business preaching it in the hopes that it'll change you. I got to, man, you just don't know. You hear the preacher preach a tough message, and listen here, what you don't know is that for about 8 hours of my studies, God's been going, that's you, boy. I need somebody. Amen. I'm like, I'm in my office before I come out and preach, going, God, please forgive me. I did everything wrong. God done got all over me. You say, well, preacher, I'm offended by the world. Me too. That word offends me, preacher. It offends me too. All the time. God gets right up. Why? Because the Bible, the Word of God is a mirror. And when I look in it, listen here, I should see Jesus, but many times I see myself. I got to first be a partaker of the fruit. So Paul tells him, he says, not only are you a son, a soldier, a star athlete, and a sower or a farmer, but he tells him this too. In verse number 15, he tells him, hey, you're going to have to be a student. Man, this was good. I hope it's good for you. You're going to have to be a student. What? I'm graduated. Never ends. What an achievement. 3 years in Bible college, what an achievement. You've learned, you know more. I'm going to be honest with you. I've gone through about 7 years of schooling. And I went to Victory Baptist College and spent 4 years there and got my pastoral theology degree. And while I was there, I remember I walked into class and I was one of 127 preachers when I first started in there. And we got in there and the people that was teaching, I'd already been through a Bible Institute like I teach right here. Matter of fact, same material. And we took that thing. My preacher, he helped me with it, gave it to me and helped us get started in this thing 10 years ago. But it was the same material. I had been through that thing and I got up there to college. I'm in there with 127 preachers and the people that are teaching are asking me questions about the Bible. I don't say that to brag. What I'm saying is you don't realize what you learned. And how many people are out there that do not know it? I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about teachers that do not know the Word of God and how to dissect the Word of God like you have learned over the last 3 years. But it's never ending. Somebody needs to hear me that's already graduated. I'm proud of you and I'm glad you graduated, but we are to continue to be a student of God's Word. This is what Paul is telling Timothy. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Paul says it like this: work so hard and study so hard that your work is nothing to be ashamed of. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, a lot of people think they can open up the Bible and take one verse out of the Bible and they can rightly divide the truth. Say, how do you know, preacher? Because I've seen your Facebook posts. But a real student of the Bible knows that we don't take Scripture out of context. And to do that means that I got to study. So Paul says, hey, listen, Timothy, I'm proud of you. You're going to have to be a soldier. You're going to have to be an athlete. You're going to have to be a farmer or a sower, he says. But you are going to have to remain a student. You're going to have to continue to learn God's word. Is everybody all right? And then we move on. Paul tells him in verse number 20. He goes on to another part, and I couldn't get an S for this, so y'all just please forgive me. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse number 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Paul told Timothy, he said, you're going to have to keep yourself clean. A vessel of honor. You can have all the knowledge in the world. I need somebody to help me. And mess up. And nobody will hear anything you got to say. Man, our pulpits are have been over and over, they've been dishonored. We can go through, many of you may even know preachers that have fell, that have fallen. Their lives are in shambles because of have allowed sin to get into their life and make them a vessel of dishonor. So Paul tells Timothy, he says, you're going to have to keep yourself clean. No matter how much knowledge you have, I need somebody to help me. Nobody wants to partake of it out of a dirty vessel. I mean, I could sit a red Solo cup up here, and the nicest gold cup that you could think of right next to it, and that gold cup could have 3-day-old milk in it. And that Solo cup, like, yeah, I done seen it. That Solo cup just come out of the plastic. I don't care who you are. You crazy if you drink out of that gold one with that red Solo cup sitting right there. I need somebody to help me. And this is what Paul's saying. Nobody, it doesn't matter how much you dress it up on the outside. If it's dirty, ain't nobody going to partake from it or listen to it. So as a student, as somebody that has knowledge of the word, you need to keep yourself clean. You need to remain a vessel of honor. Because if you're not, then you're no good to God as far as teaching others. I hope you understand that, and I hope that didn't make anybody mad. But I'm not going to sit there and listen to a preacher tell me how to keep my marriage together, my family together, when he's running around on his wife. And I'm not going to listen to somebody teach when they ain't living what they teaching. Paul says, keep yourself clean. And then lastly, he tells him he's a servant. I'm done. See, I told y'all it was going to be quick and we'd be out of here. He was a son. He was a soldier. He was to be an athlete. He was to be a farmer. He was to tackle life as a student. as a vessel of honor, but lastly, as a servant. In verse number 24, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. We got a lot of folks that use knowledge to debate and to fight everybody. I need, y'all better help me. Man, I got off Facebook because I got tired of preachers bickering and fighting over stupid stuff. Stuff that ain't going to matter in eternity. We fighting over, I don't know what it is with Christians. But we feel like we're the only one that knows what's right. And so we want to tell the whole world. And if they have a different opinion of it, then we will fight them to the bitter end. And all we're doing is we're making a fool of ourselves in front of a bunch of lost people. And I can imagine that there's a bunch of lost people out there saying, if that's what religion is and if that's what Christianity is, I don't want anything to do with it. I need y'all hear me. So Paul tells Timothy, he says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. But look at this. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. I'm going to whisper this one because I don't like to hear it too much. Patient. I don't have that virtue. I don't have that. You know, y'all pray for me, all right? But he says this in verse number 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Whew. This is for all of us. I don't care if you've been through the Bible college or not. If you consider yourself to be a servant of the Lord, you are to do so. You are not to strive, but you are to be gentle with all men. In meekness, you're to teach them. You're to leave a door open that God can continue to work. Peradventure, they may repent and come to a saving knowledge of Christ. Or repent and come back to the house of God. As Paul has challenged Timothy in Scripture, I challenge you, life ain't going to be easy. You're going to have to endure hardship as a soldier. You're going to have to learn to stay in your lane, not take shortcuts. Run the race that God has set before you. As a farmer, you're going to have to learn that you're going to have, the word is going to have to affect you before it ever affect anybody else. As a student, your studies will never be over. As a vessel, keep yourself clean, so that others can look to you and learn from you. And as a servant, be gentle with all men. Tonight, we celebrate you and your achievement. But tonight, with everybody in the building, with the songs that have been sung, the word that's been read, the word that's been preached, I want to give an opportunity for you to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We like to give opportunities for people to get saved. The Bible tells us that there are two places. Jesus preached it. He tells us in one story, Jesus tells us that there was a rich man and there was a beggar. The Bible tells us, this is Jesus speaking, and he tells us that the rich man, or the beggar rather, died, and he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. The Bible tells us the rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Jesus teaching. Say, I don't believe in hell. Well, Jesus taught that there was a hell. I know that's hard for a lot of people, but don't call yourself a Christian if you don't believe what Jesus taught. Say, well, I think that the only hell we'll ever have to face is right here on earth. Look, you may be in a bad marriage, but the rest of us aren't. I need somebody to help. Jesus
teaches us that there's a real hell, a real hell, a real heaven. And on this earth, you'll make a decision. Say, preacher, I didn't come for all this. I know, but I'm glad you come anyhow. I know you probably just wanted to come and get out of here and go and celebrate and do all these things. But man, I wouldn't be doing what I'm supposed to be doing if I didn't tell you that you don't have to go to hell tonight. Just as we sang, I know my name is there. You can leave out of here knowing your name is there. You need to know this, that we're all sinners. Well, you sin a little different than I do, but we all sin. Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us because of that, there's a wage or a payment for that sin. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Greatest gift ever given, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that Son that you and I believe in, the Bible says this about him. He commendeth his love towards us. He proved it. He displayed it. He demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, boy, but that's some good news right there. The Bible tells us that if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead, we shall be saved. I love that part of Scripture, too, because it doesn't say we might be saved. It says we shall be saved. I like that. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart God raised from the dead, that's Romans 10:9, then thou shalt be saved. Verse number 13, that same chapter says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Man, isn't that great? Yeah. Not might be saved. Yeah. Shall be saved. Yeah. Therefore, John writes to us and says, these things have I written unto you, and believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hallelujah! What does that mean to you, preacher? I'm glad you asked. That means I could swing over hell on a rotten cornstalk and shoot the devil in the eye with a water pistol, and I can. Say, but preacher, you can lose your salvation. If I can't earn it, then I sure don't see how I can lose it. I kind of like what the scripture says in 1 Peter 1:5. We are kept by the power of God. I need somebody to help me. If it was up to me to keep my salvation, then Jesus didn't have to go to that cross. If it was up to me, if I could earn salvation, Jesus didn't have to go to that cross. But you know what? God loved me so much that he endured that cross. God placed all the sin of this world. The Bible says he that knew no sin became sin for you and I. And God poured out his wrath on his dear son. Not so you can earn your salvation. But so salvation was available to you through Christ. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I wonder tonight if there's somebody in here with heads bowed and eyes closed with me. Dalton's coming to the pen. I'm going to help me out just for a few moments. I tell you what, Miss Teresa, you come to the pen. And Dalton, stay right there if you will. Thank you, Miss Teresa. I wonder if somebody be honest with this preacher tonight. Say, preacher, if I'm being honest, if I was to die sitting in the seat that I'm sitting in tonight, I do not know where I would spend eternity. Preacher, I know there's a heaven. I know the Bible tells us there's a hell. But preacher, right now, I do not know where I would go if I died. If that's you tonight, I wonder if you'd do this for me. Just raise your hand. I'm not asking you to raise it high. Nobody's looking around. I just want to see for myself before we end the service. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Just lift your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you, point you out, come to you, or anything like that. Preacher, pray for me. I don't know where I'd spend eternity if I died. Is there anybody else like that? Anybody else? Be honest with the preacher. I wonder tonight, given the opportunity, invitation, would you come? Dalton, I need you to help me if you will. Praise God. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's anybody who needs to do business with the Lord this night. While this sermon was pointed to our graduates, as a Christian, every one of us, as a servant, every one of us has the same responsibilities. Life is hard. We must endure it as a soldier. Paul, over and over again, tells us that life is a race. He even says in Scripture, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. There's no shortcuts in this race. So we are to go through our Christian walk as an athlete, striving for the victory, but doing it lawfully, staying in our lane. No shortcut. Maybe you have the opportunity and the privilege to teach. You're to be as a husbandman or as the farmer, as a sower. You ought to partake of it before you teach it. Maybe tonight, some of you have left off from being a student. Feel like you've achieved all that there is to achieve in Christianity. Maybe somebody tonight needs to hear that their vessel needs to be cleaned up. We can't live our life in such a manner that we dishonor God and expect others to take us serious. And then as a servant, we're to be apt to teach, but we're to do it with gentleness and meekness. You do business with the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for these men and women, Lord, that have dedicated this time and effort, Lord, to learning more about you and learning your word. Lord, they've invested in me, I've invested in them, and God, I'm grateful that they would allow me to do so. I appreciate the privilege that you've given us here at Calvary Baptist Church to train men and women. God, I pray that you'd continue to do so. That, Lord, we would honor you in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. All right. Y'all ready? Brother Adam Esco called me today. And he said, I don't know what kept me in my chair this morning in the church service. And so he's come to rededicate his life to the Lord tonight. And we praise the Lord for him. And Brother Adam and his family have been such a blessing. They have a business here in town. And man, he's just a blessing to me. Miss Brandy is. I think, man, she had cakes out here this morning. And we raised, by the way, church family, we raised over $5,000 in cakes this morning. And anyhow, two cakes went home, I think $600. Two different cakes went home at $600. And so anyhow, somebody paid a lot of money to get fat. And I appreciate our church getting involved in that, as that was a fundraiser for our youth and for our youth camp. And man, what a blessing that was. As we continue on tonight, let me read just a little bit, and then we'll have our commencement. Our college graduates will come forward. Calvary Baptist Bible Institute is a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church. What began as a seed and a dream in the heart of this preacher was initially planted in the fall of 2012. And boy, y'all don't know how hard that was. I called everywhere trying to get some kind of a curriculum. Matter of fact, I was told by one preacher he wasn't giving me nothing and that I could go on. And so anyhow, I prayed that God would deal with him. And God did. He called me back and said, I'd like to give you all this material, all right? Hey, there's power in prayer. I need somebody to say amen. Now, in the spring of 2022, we celebrate the accomplishments of our 8th graduating class. We thank God for the 87 previous graduates. And tonight, we continue this tradition and honor as we celebrate with 15 more graduates, bringing our total graduates to 102. Man, that's exciting for me anyhow, and I praise the Lord for that. Now, tonight, you'll notice we'll only have 12 that will walk tonight. One couple that graduated this year, they had a death in the family, and so they weren't able to be with us. And we will be honoring Brother Kenny Thurman as well, who recently passed away. But he had gone through our Bible college, and he was going to graduate with this class. And we will honor our commitment to that, and he will receive his diploma tonight. And so we praise the Lord for that. Many have started this task only to up short of reaching their goal and full potential. It's not easy. 3 years, 2 hours each week, and that they devote to this, all right? But tonight we will honor 15 who have been faithful and have worked diligently to accomplish the will of God in their lives and who sought to achieve a higher learning in God's Word. The goal and mission of Calvary Bible Institute is and always will be to educate and train up faithful Christians in God, in God's Word. I remember a man told me one time, he told me that I was doing it all wrong when it come to teaching. But he wasn't doing it. I need somebody to hear me. No matter what you think about this Bible college, know this. I'm doing more than you are and more than most, all right? So we are doing the best we can to educate and train up faithful Christians in God's Word so that Calvary Baptist Church may be able to expand our spiritual footprint and do our part in sending out trained men and women that will go out into our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth and win souls as well as disciple others in God's Word. It took commitment and resolve each Tuesday night for the last 3 years to get to this point. No doubt during that time there were opportunities to quit. Can I get a witness? There was opposition that you faced your calling as well as opportunities to become complacent in your Christian walk. Your hard work and dedication is to be admired and respected and should serve as an example to others that they too can grow and mature spiritually in God's Word right here at our Bible Institute, all right? We also have, and this is a privilege, we have a graduate of our Preacher College as well. And we no longer have the Preacher College here, but Colby was finishing up his last year, and he'll join 11 other graduates. Some of those are pastors. Some have pastored in other states. Some still pastor in other states. Some have gone off to be missionaries, whatever the case may be. But he went through a good bit more schooling than the 3 years and the 2 hours on Tuesday night. Matter of fact, for him and what he's gone through was about 7 hours per week for most of those 3 years. And so we praise the Lord that tonight Brother Colby Strawder will be getting his pastoral theology degree from our Calvary Bible College. And we are thankful for that. And we're thankful for all the men. Let me say this too, all the men that have gone before it. A lot of those men are working right here at our church and singing, preaching, doing all kind of things, ministering in the Word, and we appreciate each and every one of them, all right? So, graduates, as your name is called, please come forward and receive your diploma. Graduates, please stand. All right. Please. All right. All right, first, Brother Jim Bartenhagen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. You going to have to do that quick? Miss Kelsey Bash. Amen. What a blessing. Hold on. Hey, Miss Sherry Croft. That's what I'm talking about. That's how graduation's supposed to be, right there. Praise the Lord. That's your son? That's your nephew? Hold on a minute. We'll get a picture with him. Amen. Praise the Lord, Miss Sherry. God bless you. All right, Miss Wendy Dickinson. Good job, Miss Wendy. Thank you so much. God bless you. Right there. Got cameras everywhere. Amen. Hey, she joins her husband, who's also a graduate of our Bible college. All right. Miss Angie Dixon. Yeah. God bless you, Miss Angie. I'm proud of you. All right. Amen. Miss Leanne Powell. Good job, Gail. Proud of you. All right. Brother Edwin Smith. He leads our care team, our prayer team. He does all kind of stuff around here. I sure am thankful for you, brother. I love you. Proud of you, brother. Miss Tracy. Y'all can stand up back there on the backside. Oh, y'all ain't supposed to be sitting down yet. See, this is why we do practice. Hey, Miss Tracy Stapp. All right, y'all guys. Hey. Hallelujah. You made it. God bless you. Amen. Yes, he's getting both. So, Colby Strawder. Needs security for that that unruly crowd over there. So, Colby gets his degree from the Bible Institute. But Colby also receives a diploma graduation in pastoral theology. And so anyhow, very proud of you, son. God bless you, man. Absolutely. Do what now? What did you say? Oh, hold on. Come back here, man. Come back here. Why you always got to mess things up, man? Proud of you, son. God bless you. All right, Miss Lorraine Taylor. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's the way it's supposed to be. Hey, remember when they told you, please hold your applause until all the graduates are called? There's your daughter out there. There's your husband right there. There's your daughter over there. Your daughter over there. Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here, Brother Ken. Amen. Karen Thurman. Praise the Lord. Anytime, just whenever you get here, whatever you want to do. I love you. I'm just kidding with you. I'm picking on you. Hey.
You always do.
I ain't ever heard what?
You always pick up.
Oh. You got it? Hey, man. I would never do that. What are you talking about? Hey, last one, Miss Haley Wilfong. Hey. Congratulations, girl. This is her second graduation of this year. All right, hold on. We got... I love you, girl. I'm proud of you very much. So, amen. She graduated high school as well as our Bible Institute. So, we do have teenagers that are going through it as well, and we are very proud of them. All right. So, all of our graduates, please rise. And by the authority given to me through Calvary Baptist Church and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I now confirm you to be graduates of Calvary Bible Baptist Institute. You may now move your tassel from the right side of your cap to the left. Congratulations to our graduates. Amen. Amen. Please rise in honor of the class of 2022 at Calvary Baptist Bible Institute. Amen. Listen, if any of y'all, am I on?